Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, May 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew owns a practice in Saratoga Springs. He is on the line to answer your questions about orthopedics and sports medicine. So if you have an injured or aching knee, a shoulder, an elbow, a back, you know, he can't do much to massage your soul. But if it's a physical thing, yeah, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Physical therapy, Matthew Goodemote. Your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. He's one of just 350 specialists with his diploma from the Mackenzie Spine Institute International. Matthew founded PhysioFit Physical Therapy in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Albany. It specializes in prevention, continuing PT care after insurance is no longer authorized visits, and progressing patients beyond normal daily activities. If you have an ache or a pain that you think physical therapy might remedy, now would be the time to call 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpopwamc.org. Matthew Goodemote, welcome back.
Thanks, Ray. Good to talk to you.
Long time no speak. How have you been?
I've been well.
Yeah.
Doing good.
Everybody's healthy?
Yes, we are. Family's healthy. Staff is healthy. All is well.
Good. Well, we already have callers on the line. I had this email earlier in the program, before the show started, and this is from Albany. This person writes, I'm a 29-year-old runner. I've been struggling with my iliotibial bands for 5 years. I foam roll before and after runs, and I focus the roller on my iliac crest to loosen my hip muscles as well. But still, after about 2 miles, every time I run, I feel that familiar pulling on my knee. I have many friends who struggle with the IT band issues or runner's knee. I really want to get back to the point where I can run marathons again. Are there any other solutions besides foam rolling? This injury is very annoying, and that's from Albany. First of all, what is an iliotibial band?
An iliotibial band is a long tendon that goes the entire length of your thigh and the outer part of your thigh. There's a muscle up by the hip bone called your tensor fasciae lata, and then that becomes this big long tendon. It goes all the way down below the knee to your fibula, which is one of your shin bones.
Okay.
It's a massive tendon. So one of the things he said was foam rolling up by the hip and pelvis. I, even though he doesn't want to know about foam rolling, I would definitely recommend foam rolling the thigh muscles and the hamstring muscles. And during this lockdown, I did a video posted on my website that has foam rolling for runners, and it's including those kind of areas to hit. But the thing that I would recommend is strengthening. And usually what happens with an IT band syndrome is the muscles above in the hip and pelvis area are the ones that need the most love and the most attention. So it would be finding out which muscle groups up in the hip pelvis area. And when I say that, I mean the gluteal muscles, which is what a lot of PTs would go after, but also the muscles like your external oblique abdominal, quadratus lumborum, and psoas, iliacus. Those are all deep hip, spine, deep core muscles, and they need to be worked on and strengthened. And the last thing I'll say about it is oftentimes cadence and stride can be altered slightly to affect in a positive way. I'm not a big fan of altering people's running gait, but sometimes changing the cadence, and usually a little faster cadence, can be the trick. And it doesn't have to be a dramatic shift, just even a 5 or 10% increase can make a big difference in how they feel.
It's funny. Now, I knew when I saw this that you would take some exception to this person's dislike of foam rolling, but your opinion is perhaps this person is not foam rolling the right area.
Possibly, and it's one of those tricky things because I like to palpate things. So by pressing on muscles, I can identify, is it really the IT band, first of all? And if it is, most times I've found people with IT band syndrome actually have a weakness in the hip and pelvis, and that's the underlying problem. Runners run, and sometimes they don't do enough movement prep or recovery.
You almost said stretching.
Matthew. No, I was going to say rest.
Okay.
I don't want them to rest either. I like people to be active.
Right.
I wouldn't say stretch.
No, you never do. Very rarely, anyway. Matthew Goodemoto is our guest. It's Physical Therapy Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Rhode Island. Tina, are you really in Rhode Island?
Oh, yes, I am.
How did you find out about this program?
Oh, I lived in North Adams for a few years, and I just got used to the radio station and just tune in once in a while and happened to come on.
That's very nice of you. How's the lockdown going in Rhode Island, by the way?
Well, it's still going on, and it's pretty complete.
Yeah.
So,
are you holding up okay, though?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm very glad it's springtime when this is happening and not starting in November through December, because you can go outside.
I agree. Well, you're on the air right now with Matthew Goodemoto. And
okay.
Matthew, go ahead. Or Tina, you go first, and then Matthew will go after you.
Okay. Well, I have a certain pain or discomfort situation, but my question really is what to do next in terms of treatment. For about 3 months, I've had this chronic, basically daily aching, sometimes real pain, but really kind of just an ongoing aching and tingling and fatigue in my upper back and lower neck, shoulders, that kind of area, which I've read a lot about. And I did go to PT for a little over 2 months until the shutdown started, and basically did the follow-up exercise, basically being told I am in my mid-70s, and I'm only sort of low, medium active. I'm not real active.
Sure.
A lot of walking and things like that. But that it was posture, that this was caused basically by posture. That was it. That I had to build up the strength in my shoulders and things. But I don't find that much difference if I'm pretty regular with the posture exercises and strengths with my arms. I read some things. I'll just mention quickly. Online, I see things like pinched nerve and compressed. Who knows what it sounds like. Maybe you shouldn't be working so hard if it's one of these other causes.
Okay. So the first thing, I'll start with where you ended. So compressed things and not doing activity because it could be dangerous, that's incredibly rare. There are a couple cases where you could have a thing called cord compression, where your spinal cord was being impacted, and then you would have symptoms in your hands and your feet, which is not what you've described. So generally speaking, when it comes to the spine, it likes movement. And so the more movement, the better.
Right.
And specifically spinal movements. And so when people, therapists, chiropractors, anybody in the medical field recommends doing strengthening things first, I typically pause, because I have a little slogan in my office where I say it's mobility first and stability or strength second. So I would start with the movements of the neck, period. And regarding posture, the way you can identify if this is all being caused by your posture is that when you're in a particular posture, let's say it's a slumped posture, you would have those symptoms. And then when you get out of the posture, those symptoms would go away. And if you find that that's true, then you need to work as hard as you can on staying in the posture where you have little to no symptoms. So the ache that you feel persistently, it could be related to the head position. The more forward your head is positioned, the more strain it's going to be on the joints of the neck, and the more strain it's going to be on the muscles of the neck. But still, the way to start would be to, number one, find a chair that you can sit in, and you scoot your bottom all the way back in the chair and physically lean back against the chair. And then from that position, you want to kind of lean a little bit more back so that your head and shoulders are slightly behind the chair. And I would do that as an exercise. In fact, we call it the don't kiss me exercise. So if you imagine someone was trying to give you a kiss, you would back your head and face away from them, but you would still be able to see them. So your eyes would still be down. So it's not extension where you're reaching over. You're just kind of leaning back in a chair. And that's my go-to starting point movement, because most people will find some relief just doing that simple thing. And if you find even a little bit of relief doing it, then the solution is to do it frequently. And frequently to me means 5 to 10 times a day.
5 to 10 times a day.
Yes.
That eats into the day pretty well, Matthew.
Yes, but you only have to do 3 to 5 repetitions, so it'll only take you about 30 seconds each time you do it.
All right, Tina, we have to take a break here. Well, go ahead. You can follow up real quick.
You don't have to hold it at all. You just
do
it like
the movement. Correct.
All right, well, thank you very much for the call. We love hearing from Rhode Island. Our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemotis is here. It's Physical Therapy. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemotis is our guest. It's Physical Therapy today. And, you know, as we enter in the Capital Region, the first phase of reopening, Matthew, when do you think you will begin seeing clients again?
Oh, we've been seeing where the physical therapists are considered first, I can't think what the
essential
word is. Essential.
Yeah.
There we go. And so we've been seeing patients. We quarantined for 2 weeks because we had a couple patients that came in with the virus. So we had to self-quarantine for a couple weeks, and we've implemented all kinds of strategies. In fact, I'm renovating my building. I'm taking down walls and things to create social distancing, and I have most of my staff, administrative staff, working at home now. So we've made a lot of changes to the office. So.
It's been an amazing new world we live in. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-348-2551. Emily in Wappingers Falls. Emily.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually calling about my husband, who is at work now, but he's 61. He was a lineman for years. And about a month, almost now 2 months, he had a severe groin tear. He did get to his doctor, and that's what it was diagnosed as. And he's actually going to go again tomorrow to see whether or not it's a hernia. But he does have hip problems, and his movement is very, very limited as a result of this. And so my question is, the doctor had said that it's very painful and it's a very long healing. When we looked online, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 months. But we don't know whether does heat help or, you know, what he can do.
There's a lot he can do, but there's one thing that I have to say, because I had a gentleman a few years ago that also was diagnosed with a groin pull strain, and he had slipped, and so his foot kind of slipped off to the side, and it made perfect sense. And yet what it ended up being was his hip joint was degenerated, and he ended up needing a hip replacement.
Oh.
And so because of that particular situation, it was one that I missed. And so it stands out to me because I don't ever want to miss that again. So now anytime someone has groin pain, I immediately say, get the hip x-ray. So I would recommend when he goes back, even insisting if possible, to get the hip x-ray and see what the degeneration in the hip joint looks like. A muscle strain should be progressively, even a muscle tear. A tear would typically have bruising, by the way, and swelling. So if he actually literally tore the muscle, it would be accompanied by bruising. So if he never had any bruising, then the likelihood of a tear is smaller. It still can be, but it's smaller. And then a strain to the muscle would resolve quickly. Within a couple weeks, he would notice his range of motion is getting better. And so if he's not experiencing those things, again, it would lead me back to the joint to rule that out 100%. And then if it has been ruled out and it's not the hip joint, then he needs to start moving that muscle, because what will happen is scar tissue will develop and it will become more and more restrictive to move. And at this stage, it is safe to move. So the first 7 to 10 days, you have to be really cautious. But after that, it's a gradual progression of movement. And it's a simple thing to do. You basically look where he's having a hard time moving and move it there. So it would be like standing with your legs spread apart. If he's laying on his back, bringing his knee to his chest, again, laying on his back, put his feet together, let the knees drop out to the sides. There's a whole series of movements that I would do with someone who had a groin pull, a strain, and I would implement it 2 weeks maximum after injury to start going, so you don't develop restrictions that become permanent restrictions.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. That's good information, because he does, as I had said, it possibly could be his hips, because he's has discussed, you know, his hips are really hurting him, and his movement is so poor that I'm glad he's going again, and I thank you for your advice about getting that hip x-rayed.
Well, Emily, thank you very much for the call. Our guest today is Matthew Goodemote, and you know, one of the recurring motifs in your appearances is people coming in for ailment X, and then you say, no, the knee bone is connected to the whatever bone, and it's something else completely.
Yeah.
Why?
So,
doctors know what they're doing, yes?
Yeah. PTs have more time to spend with patients, number one. We hyper-focus on musculoskeletal issues. So when it comes to things like joints and muscles, most of our training is revolved around that. Now, other PTs out there listening would hear they do neuro too, so strokes and brain injuries and things. But my specialty in orthopedics, I just, and also Ray, for me, I have these memories of people that I messed up on. And that helps me to remember the next time. So I do my best not to repeat the same mistake twice. And joints have very particular patterns to them, and muscles have very particular patterns to them. So I am really primitive PT, because I start with the basic obvious ones first, and then I rule them out. And if I'm left at the end, it didn't match up, then okay, now we've got to dig deeper. And that's where you get into all the x-rays, MRIs, and everything to figure the rest out.
Matthew Goodemote is our guest. It's physical therapy today on Vox Pop. The number is 1-800-348-2551. Lois is in Worthington. Hi, Lois, you're on.
Not Lois. Worthington.
Hi. You're on. Hello, Lois in Worthington. Hello, Lois? Oh, it's not Lois. Who is this?
Ellen?
It's Ellen? Okay. That's not what it says.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from, Ellen?
I'm calling from Saratoga Springs, New York.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why you're not Lois from Worthington. Well, you're on the air either way.
Yeah,
so.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead, Ellen.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually, my question wasn't so much about lower back pain as it was congratulating Matthew Goodemote on his daughter's high school accomplishments. She is a friend of my daughter's, and I adore your daughter, and I just want to tell you congratulations.
Well, thank
that's very
you
nice.
Very
so,
much.
A ringer. No wonder you had a false name. Well, thank you for that one.
My daughter graduated number 6 in the class, Ray.
Very nice. Out of how many? 10, 12?
550-something.
Wow, that's impressive. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right, now I can see why you made someone call in. That you could have just said it yourself. However, let's go to Judy in Fairpoint, perhaps. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a torn meniscus, and I'm due to have surgery soon, about a week.
Okay.
And this occurred actually last September. And we scheduled it and not scheduled it and blah, blah, blah. I'm just wondering if there's any exercises, strengthening exercises of my legs that I can do in anticipation of the surgery.
The one thing, there's a couple things. One thing.
Actually, I'm in no pain, actually. I do have difficulty walking. My leg locks, so.
I would, number one, make sure you don't have any swelling in your knee. So
yep.
even leading up to surgery and then immediately after surgery, prioritize that.
And okay.
elevation, with the closer your foot points towards the ceiling, the more gravity can work it out.
Okay.
And then I would make sure you have full range of motion or the maximum amount of motion you can get, because sometimes a tear will inhibit your ability to move it fully. But that includes...
Wait, that what will inhibit?
A tear, a meniscal tear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so sometimes the reason why it's locking up is it'll get in the way of the joint, and so you might not be able to have a full range of motion, but you want to try to maximize your range of motion.
Okay.
And then strengthening, one of the safest things you could do leading up to surgery is just the basic chair squat, which is just sitting down in a chair and standing up. And then
okay.
repeat it like 10 times in a row. And then if that's too easy, then do it 20 times in a row. And if that's too easy, go to 30.
Okay.
And that keeps the leg nice, strong, and healthy as you're moving. And the other
okay.
little one that I would have you do is just single leg standing and balancing on one leg.
Okay.
You can hold for a good 10, 15 seconds.
Okay.
After surgery, things are going to change. But if you can go in there with decent strength from the squats, and we call it proprioception, where the knee is responding well just to balance, then your outcomes will be, you know, improved, and you'll be a better off doing that.
Okay, because I understand that you have to do them at the strengthening afterwards if you don't do them before.
Yeah. But then we start based on where you are from surgery. So if you come out and your knee's real swollen, then we're going to start with basic exercises like just tightening the muscle up. But if you come out after
surgery, how do you do that?
You just sit down on the bed, and you try to push the back of your knee down into the bed and almost lift your heel off the bed.
So that okay, you're so you're your actually thigh. Stretching and pushing down that knee to the bed.
You're contracting
bed.
The thigh muscle to do it.
Okay.
So you're trying to use your thigh muscle, and it extends the knee, so it pushes the knee backwards, and you try
uh-huh.
to do it to wake that muscle up. And then
okay.
you can
Does
also
that...
sit with – go ahead.
Does this also cause pain up near the glute on the same leg?
Well, it can, but that's more of a hamstring muscle than the knee joint, the meniscus. So,
okay, maybe because of range of motion.
Correct.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be because of the joint as much as it because of a tightness in your muscle.
All right, Judy, thanks a lot for the call. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. I find this interesting. Now, you mentioned if after surgery the muscle is very, or the knee is very swollen to do exercise A. If it was me and my knee was really swollen, I would probably just rest it a while. Wouldn't that be the proper course of action?
No, Ray.
No? Boy, I've learned nothing in all these appearances.
No, when you have swelling, you want to try to get rid of it, so you would elevate and then do range of motion exercises, which is just bending and straightening the knee. Those would rarely cause any type of problem. It doesn't mean they'd be easy to do, but they don't damage anything.
Yeah.
And inactivity and rest can actually inhibit your progress and make you go backwards instead of forward. So we call active recovery now instead of passive recovery. You want to do something, and it's pretty universal for the condition. You want to get active as quickly as you can, even postoperatively. There are a couple exceptions, but for the most part, you want to get up and get going.
All right. Well, and then this is why I'm not a physical therapist. Let's go to Bruce in Kingston. Bruce, you're on.
Oh, yeah. I'm in my 92nd year with considerable loss of balance, so I'll use a cane when I walk. In fact, I'll use two canes if I'm going to walk a mile or so, because I can go faster as well as better balance.
Yep.
And I also have a stationary bike. But I wonder what other exercises I can do to strengthen my legs and increase my balance.
Great question. There's a few things there. Number one, I actually prefer when people use two canes anyways, or hiking sticks, for the exact reason that you said. Your gait is going to be more natural. I'm not as concerned with the speed as just a more natural kind of gait. So that's a good idea for you to do. The simple exercise I call a chair squat, which is literally just sitting down in a chair and standing back up. It's really safe to do. It works on the hips and thigh muscles, which are very good for balance. We do a fall assessment here in Saratoga, and there are some things that can happen that affect your balance, including your vestibular system, your inner ear, and that's something that physical therapists can test to see if it's being affected. And if it is, you would absolutely want to have it dealt with because it is treatable and you can make some substantial improvements in your balance by having a therapist work with you on that. And as far as exercises, there's three things that I recommend when I do a fall a balance assessment and then a fall program. Number one is the chair squat, so sitting down in a chair and standing up. Number two is standing with your hands against a countertop or a wall, something really stable, and just marching in place. But when you're marching in place, try to lift your knees as high as you can and pause a little bit at the top. So you would lift your right knee, pause 1,001, 1,002, and then lower your right leg down and then lift the left. And then the second one would be, I call it a sideways march. So again, if you're facing a wall, you would have your hands on the wall, lift your knee up like you're marching, but then take a little step to one side, then lift the other one up. And it's almost like you're stepping over a little fence. Like if you had a little tiny fence or a little log or something, an obstacle, and you had to get both feet up and over it, and you were doing it sideways. And those are the three things I recommend. And it's very important that when you're doing anything with your balance that you're putting safety first. So having something to hold on to, if you feel even a little unsteady, don't do it right then. And this is the kind of thing where physical therapy can pay a big dividend because we can give you exercises that can really help a lot with that. And if you can't do it in person, that we are doing virtual therapy. Most clinics are doing that now, and Medicare is paying for it. So it would be worth your while to have somebody give you some instructions.
About the inner ear. Hello?
Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, about the inner ear. Yep. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I had a mastoid operation on my left ear, and, of course, I didn't have antibiotics. Yeah. So they actually pierced my middle ear on the left side. So that may be affecting me as well.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can do anything about that.
You can. I have a therapist here that he's the one that showed it to me, too, that he's better at these things than I am. And actually, all my therapists are better at me than that. And but there's quite a bit you can do, and at least to get assessed, because sometimes it's true you can't. You can't have an effect on it. But it's worth testing because the times that you can, it makes such a difference in someone's life because it's a major impact with balance.
Bruce, thanks a lot for the call. You know, I got to tell you something. 92 years old.
Yeah.
And he still walks a mile or more.
Yeah.
And he's got a stationary bike. That's great. But I mean, what can you do at a certain age? Physical therapy is not going to make much difference, right?
Well, my record for age is 96, and I treated a woman with back pain, and it was great because she said to me, you got to hurry up because I don't have much time left.
All right, let's take a break. We have some time left. Matthew Gutimoto is our guest today. It's physical therapy today on the program. The number is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop today, and physical therapy is the topic. Matthew Gutimoto is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. Matt, a couple of emails here, and then we'll hit the phones. This one is from Tom in Delmar. Tom writes, daily pain, always upon waking up in the morning, standing up and beginning to walk, sometimes returns during the day, lower back pain, very uncomfortable, many times also shoots down the center back of each leg / thigh, feels nerve-related, sciatic nerve, and that's from Tom.
So, yes, it's possible it's nerve-related. It would be an unusual presentation for sciatica to be both legs, but it is possible. Typically, the morning stiffness type of things, it can be a degenerative condition. So anytime you're doing prolonged positions, degeneration and changing positions, you can feel some stiffness and some soreness in there. But it is also possible for the disc to be the culprit. And my teacher a long time ago said that the disc is consistently inconsistent. And so it will copy pretty much any other type of condition, not 100%, but a lot of the time. And transitions for the disc, especially morning pain and especially getting up and down out of a chair, are classic signs for a disc-related issue.
Okay.
And then the fact that he'll have sometimes where it goes down both legs, I would lean more towards that than degeneration, but I couldn't conclusively say it's not degeneration too. So, and it could be both, of course.
Okay.
So.
This is from Beth. Beth says, I've been an on and off again runner since I was a teenager, but not a major athlete. I'm in my late 20s now. Every time I try to get into shape for the last few years, be it running, biking, or gym activities involving squatting, lunges, I start to get knee pain, which is worse when bending my knee, even just stairs or walking. Pain is mostly both below and along the sides of my kneecap. I also get bruises on the inner sides of my knees and the front of my knees and the center of my kneecap after running. Not sure if this is enough info, but is it likely these issues are connected, or am I having multiple knee issues?
It could be multiple knee issues, but my immediate thought is that there needs to be some strength, and the strength needs to come from above. So it would be starting with the hip and pelvis to get stronger. Sometimes the assumption, because my knee hurts, is that it's actually coming from the knee itself. But oftentimes I'll tell people that when you're feeling knee pain, especially after it's not really a conclusive reason, then it's usually the hip or the foot that's causing it. And because the knee's caught in the middle. So if she has weakness in her hips and pelvis, then what it's going to do is it's going to lead to a lack of control of the femur, the thigh bone, and that's the top of the knee joint. And so that could be what's happening. And the kneecap itself, it's pretty common for it to be the product of strength. And again, hip-pelvis strength leads to improvements of the knee. So what happens is when the knee has pain in it, our body's natural tendencies to try to protect us. And one of the ways it does is starts to inhibit things. And unfortunately, one of the things it inhibits is the thigh muscle that we need to go up and down stairs and run and do all that. So the solution is to strengthen those muscles and to wake them back up. And I would also foam roll the bejesus out of those legs.
Really? Is that a medical term?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
She adds, though, she says she's done some strengthening. She says, I've taken breaks. I've tried doing some knee exercises like single leg lifts and calf raises. But as soon as I try to return to normal exercise, the pain comes back.
Yeah. It would be things like bridges. It would be things like clamshells. It would be things like the chair squats. But I would start her propped up in the chair. So putting blankets down in the chair and finding a range of motion where she can do it, even if it's a minor motion, and I would have her do those repetition. And the other thing is that people will often avoid because it hurts during the movement. I don't stop because it hurts during the movement. I stop if it continues to hurt when you stop the movement.
Wow.
So for example, if you are bending your knees and it hurt to sit down, but as soon as you were at rest sitting down, it went away, it's perfectly safe. And you need to do more of those to get the leg stronger.
All right. Two more emails, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one's from Mark. Mark writes, what kind of exercises or physical therapy can a person with carpal tunnel do to decrease the sensation of tingling in the hands when writing, typing, or bike riding?
I like the braces that you can wear specifically at night and then while typing for sure, to keep the wrist from bending and flexing. As far as exercises, I would do a ton of manual therapy on this. And I have a gentleman right now that we're doing it, and it's working on the mobility of the tissues in the forearm. So a lot of manual therapy there. You could take a lacrosse ball, put it against the wall, and rub up and down on your forearm muscles to try to keep the tissue nice and loose that way. And then it's about getting the mobility in the opposite direction of what's causing the problem. And with carpal tunnel, it's from flexion, which is when your fingers come towards your wrist and come towards your forearm. So it's a bending, like a basketball flicking his wrist to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
So extension is the opposite, where the back of your hand comes to your elbow. So we would do mobility drills to encourage extension and try to get out of the flexion. But oftentimes the wrist splint will prevent the movement, and you can definitely wear it at night, and you can definitely wear it while working on the computer. And it just gives it a little rest, but you're still doing things.
Right.
I don't like to wear braces and splints all the time, but for computers, I wouldn't mind during that period of time letting this thing calm down and then doing the other things I mentioned.
All right, last email, and then we'll go back to the phones. This one's from Lori in Kingston. Lori writes, I have fibromyalgia, osteoporosis, and disc issues in my lower back. Needless to say, anytime I need PT, it's a challenge. Is there any type of PT I should be looking for that might be more appropriate for me? And that's from Lori in Kingston.
So osteoporosis is a variable there that it's one of those conditions that really benefits from strength training specifically. But with fibromyalgia, it makes it difficult to ever get adequate strength training for it. So it's a tricky one. What I found with fibromyalgia, the best place to exercise is in a pool.
Ah.
Most people do really well in the water, and especially if it's a warm pool, so like a therapy pool.
Yeah.
We had one at my last office, and that's probably 90% of the patients who had fibromyalgia were in the pool. We also did a lot of manual therapy, and we had an acupuncturist there as well. So those type of things can somewhat reduce the pain, which allows the person then to exercise. But it's a case where a gradual progression is better than a stop and a start. So starting with 5 minutes worth of walking three times a day and then going to 7 minutes of walking three times a day rather than trying to do 20 minutes all at once and just really gradually adding a little bit more activity and exercise usually doesn't have the negative effect of sending someone backwards into the downward spiral.
All right. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. Physical therapy today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Let's go over to Amsterdam. And Nancy, you're on. Hello. Hello, Nancy. Oh, Nancy's listening on the radio. Oh, Nancy, we can't do that. I'm sorry. So if you're calling in, when you hear me say hello, turn your radio down. You should be listening on the phone. It's about 20 seconds, and we can't really wait that long. Mary in Worthington. Mary, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a plantar fasciitis issue, self-diagnosed, and I'll give you a brief history. I was 18 months ago able to walk 10 miles several times a week, and I tore my meniscus when I stepped in a pothole 18 months ago.
Oh,
and eventually realized I needed surgery and had that exactly a year ago, 12 months ago, but have had knee pain ever since the surgery. And so now I'm lucky to be walking 3 miles without setting my knee off. Since COVID happened, I thought I would do a project in which I was carrying stones in buckets, I would guess about 40 pounds. And that seemed to set off the tendon under my foot. Mm. And so for eight weeks, it has been really bad. And my question is, it's almost unbearable to put any weight on it at all when I wake up in the morning. And then as I warm up, as the day goes along, I can walk. And my question is, what should I be doing? How do I care for this so it gets better?
Is the plantar fasciitis on the same side as the knee surgery?
Yes, it's in the same leg.
Okay. So there's a couple things there. The plantar fasciitis, there's a couple ways I would conclusively say that's what it is. And usually it comes with something else. So a plantar fasciitis is going to be pain in the heel, not so much in the arch. So if you're getting pain in the arch of the foot, that can be a muscle called your posterior tibialis, which is a muscle that goes up along the shin bone. And or there's a muscle on the bottom of the foot called your flexor digitorum brevis. And it will be, again, right in the arch or the center of the foot. And those are just muscles, and they would benefit from doing manual therapy or foam rolling, or sometimes exercise will help to get you out of the woods with them. So the meniscus part that's still bothering you, oftentimes it will lead to problems with that posterior tibialis muscle. And the reason is that your knee is the top or the bottom part of your knee is a bone called your tibia. And the tibia goes down and comes to be part of your ankle. And that posterior tibialis muscle goes right on the backside of the tibia of that shin bone. And it could be because of that surgery that you're having complications and it's affecting your foot. And it's also possible vice versa that the way your foot is, it's affecting your knee, which would explain why it still hurts a year later. Because after surgery, the knee shouldn't still hurt. And I say shouldn't. There are people where it does, but ideally that's part of the reason why you have the surgery. So it would require a few things to discern what's what there, because then it's going to tell you what exercises to do. And sometimes it's manual therapy where you get somebody to work on the tissue to free it up, and then from there you work on strengthening. But specifically for the plantar fascia, if it is a plantar fasciitis, you would take something like a lacrosse ball or a golf ball or something like that and start to roll your foot back and forth on it. This is to prime the tissue. It doesn't have to be super aggressive, but it equally can't be really light. And then once you've done that, it would be great if you could do it to the calf muscles as well. A lot of times the tension in the calf muscle is what's leading to the problem in the foot. So that's the mobility part of it. And then I like to do things barefooted when possible or in stocking feet. And then I would have you do a basic exercise. We call it yoga toe. And it's where you lift your big toe, but keep the little toes down. And then you put your big toe down and lift the little toes up. And it's deceptively hard to do. And I would practice that until you could do it easily. And then I would have you standing on one foot just for balance. And this works the muscles of the foot, and it will also work the muscles of the calf. And then I would also have you doing calf raises, which is just going up and down on your toes. When you do that, you want to have about 85% of the weight through the base of your big toe. And those are the things I would start with for those anything below the knee kind of condition.
All right, Mary, thanks so much for the call. Over to Lori in Schenectady. Lori, you're on with Matthew Goodemote.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was recently diagnosed with a tendonitis of my right wrist. It had gotten progressively more painful and less strength. I had less strength. Mm-hmm. So I was originally wearing like a elastic-y brace, but was given a immobilizer, which is helping a great deal. I'm curious, though, are there exercises I should be doing to not lose tone and to regain strength as it's healing with the brace?
Absolutely. So the brace, this is part of why I don't like braces, and you happen to fit in one of those categories, because a tendonitis, if you rest the tendon too much, it will do exactly what you said. It will actually get weaker, not stronger, and then it will make you more susceptible to irritating it again. So, but there are times where it's just so agitated, we need to immobilize it to give it a chance to recover a little bit. But what I would make sure you're doing is taking your wrist out of the brace periodically throughout the day and just doing simple range of motion, bending it forward, bending it back, turning it right, turning it left, trying to tilt it side to side, just any kind of movement that you can do, but really, you know, gentle and gradual, nothing super aggressive. And then with the brace off again, you would do a thing called an isometric contraction. And the way this works is you basically just hold the injured wrist still, and you can even do it by making a fist. And then you take your other hand and you try to push it in every different direction than you can think of. So you push it down, you push it up, you push the side, you push it around. You basically are just trying to get the muscles of the wrist and forearm to contract, but not letting any range of motion happen at the wrist. But you're not using the splint to do it, you're using your own muscle to do it. And then as you do
Very
it,
good.
You push harder and harder, and you get more and more resistance.
Lori,
that's what I would do.
Lori, thanks a lot for that one. And now let's go to New Lebanon. And Lewis, you're on.
Yes, sir. I have numbness in my feet, ankles, my knees, and my hands. I had stomach cancer 3 years ago, and they took my stomach out, and that's when it started. And they told me it was from the chemotherapy.
Yep.
And I just had bone cancer a couple of months ago, and now it just seems to be getting worse. And when I sit for too long, it's very difficult to pick my feet up, my legs, you know, to straighten them out. Or when I get up in the morning, it's very difficult to lift up that leg that had the surgery on it for the bone cancer. And I was wondering if there was anything I could do to help that.
Regarding the hands and the feet, the symptoms you've had since the first round of cancer, if it came from the chemo, there's not a lot you can do. Blood flow in general can be helpful, so just being active and exercising as best you can. with the second cancer and having difficulty with the leg, one of the earlier callers I had talked about just tightening the muscles up in the thigh and just, you know, sitting with your legs on the bed and literally just trying to tighten them up and make them as stiff and as hard as you can. And then from there, bending your knees, laying right down on your back and trying to lift your butt up in the air. And then from there, bringing your right knee towards your chest and just start working your hip muscles, because the hip muscles often are the ones that need the strengthening and certainly to wake up to be able to lift the rest of the leg better. And so even though you may need some things in your thigh muscles too, I would start with the hips and pelvis. And one of the easiest, safest ways to do it is laying down. And so the exercises would be things called bridges and clamshells and abdominal exercises, all in a safe environment where you don't have to worry about losing your balance or anything like that, and then starting to build it up. And then once you can do that, I love the chair squat, sitting down and standing up. And you can do it from the edge of your bed, so it doesn't have to be a full height of a chair. And then if it feels too easy for you, just shift the good leg forward a little bit and make the weaker leg work a little bit harder. But do it from a higher height than a low chair.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. That was most helpful.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Now, we only have about 30 seconds here. Let's go to Marianne in Newburgh. Marianne, let's keep it quick, okay?
Yes, hi. I'm 64 years old and recently felt something like pop and tear. It just kind of popped in my knee. Yeah. I have arthritis in my knee. Went to the doctor. They took an x-ray. He said, well, you've got arthritis and you have small tears in the meniscus, and there's really nothing we can do.
Right.
So that's kind of depressing.
All right. Well, we only have about 15 seconds here. So, Matthew, why don't you give a suggestion?
Okay.
Yeah. So the first thing is to make sure you don't have any swelling. The second thing is to make sure you have full range of motion of the knee. And then the third thing is to do strengthening. And there's lots you can do with a degenerative knee or a meniscal tear. Strengthening exercise is the way to go. But first things first, get all your motion and get rid of swelling and then start strengthening. And you'll be surprised at how much you can get out of that knee.
Marianne, thank you for that last call. Matthew Goodemote, be healthy, sir. We'll see you next time. Maybe you'll be in the studio even.
Yeah, that'd be great. Great talking, Ray.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, providing the greater capital region with exhibit design, fabrication, project management for trade shows, museums, and special events. Your partner for a custom experience, EmpireExhibits.com. At Gardener's Supply at Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering annuals, perennials, vegetables, trees, and shrubs, indoor and outdoor plants, and information for landscapes and gardens, HadleyGardenCenter.com. Well, thanks for calling the show. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks to Zach Malloy for engineering the show. Thanks to Jessica Denu for answering the phones on the show. And thanks to Jackie Orchard for producing the show. I'm Ray Graff. I hosted the show. Tomorrow, we'll do another show. 2:00, Food Friday with Deanna Fox. Stand by now for the Capital Connection.